notice, and it's Van Damme with super underwear, black silk underwear, surprises for you. And you're inside the square circle with Brendan DiCamillo, Frankie Rodriguez on Chicagoland Sports Radio, baby.
And welcome back to Inside the Square Circle here on Chicagoland Sports Radio. And right now on the phone, we got former heavyweight champion of the world, Tommy the Duke Morrison. Tommy, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. I'm just, trying to get over all the hurdles and, so I can get back in the game and clean up the heavyweight division.
Oh, man, that's what I'm talking about, Tommy. Hey, now you got some major news that you need to drop on people. But we were advertising that you were coming on, and one of the emailers, I think, had a great question, so I wanted to ask you this. Was there any added pressure with people calling you the Great White Hope?
That's something that the media created.
Yep.
I mean, all I do is go out there and fight and try to improve each and every time I step into the ring. People have been dying for that for years, ever since Marciano. That was back in 1957, I believe.
Absolutely.
And, I was the first white heavyweight champion since then. But that's the media. They're gonna do what they want to do. I don't worry about it. If they want to, I'm looking forward to the day that, fighters can be recognized, from their skill and not the color of their skin.
You know what? Very well said. I could not agree with you more. If you're a good boxer, you're a good boxer. What does it matter if you're Mexican, white, black? What does it matter?
Exactly. I just will go out there and perform and, let my performance and my fist do my talking,
Well, and you did a lot of that, man. You packed a lot of power in that left hook, and I'm sure it's still there, isn't it, Tommy?
I haven't lost anything. As a matter of fact, I believe very firmly that I'll be a much better fighter this time around. The reason for that is, with age, you become more seasoned. You think differently.
Mm-hmm.
You're more methodical in your approach. And I just, I believe that that I'll be a much better fighter this time around.
Yeah, now, tell me if this is true or not. You're the grandnephew of John Wayne?
He's my, I'm his great-grandnephew.
Wow. You know what? I've never heard that. As long as you've been boxing, as long as you've been knocking people's heads off, I've never heard that John Wayne was related to you. I had no idea.
He's my great-uncle.
Nice. Before we get to the big news, Rocky V, were you happy with your role in Rocky V and how that all turned out?
Afterwards I was. I felt like I was kind of holding back a little bit. But after everything was done by the producers and Robert Chardoff, Irvin Winkler, John Appleson, they all come over and said, "Man, you don't have any idea what you just did." I'm like, "Well, what are you talking about?" They said, "One of the hardest things for an actor to do is to play a role like himself."
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I ever, ventured down that road. So they also said that, the bumblebee. the way it's built and all that, it's impossible for it to fly. They just forgot to tell the bee.
Right.
Tommy Morrison with us on Inside the Square Circle, Chicagoland Sports Radio. Was everybody on the set cool? Like, did you get along with all the other actors and whatnot?
Yeah, I was. It was a great experience, and I realized that it became my passion. That's what I would love to do.
Right.
But I'd like to wrap this box thing up and then, make a transition in acting.
Tommy, do you have a favorite knockout, dude? Because you knocked so many people's heads off. Was there one where you're like, man, I got him clean?
I think probably my favorite is Razor Ruddy.
I love it. That's the one I was thinking the same thing.
Dude, that was a great spectator fight.
Yes.
You know, I tried to come back to Kansas City after the Foreman fight and was going to fight Michael Williams, who was the aging champion in Rocky V.
Right.
You know, the guy kept getting advances on his money. So we had, set up a red flag. So we had a backup opponent there just in case, you know, something funky happened.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, 10 minutes for the fight, you wanted more money. You know, he was smoking crack.
Well, that's
so,
a problem.
you know, the media made it look like we pulled some guy out of the crowd. Well, that wasn't the case. You know, I fought Tim, the doughboy Tomachek, who, you know, you're basically journeyman.
Right.
But coming back, you know, with the Razor Ruddy fight was a good move. Something I wanted to do and give him a legitimate heavyweight championship bout.
Well, and you did it, man. That was impressive, man. You got wins over George Foreman, Razor Ruddick, Carl the Truth Williams. Hey, is there any part of you that regrets not getting in the ring with a Mike Tyson?
Well, you know, I just signed a $38.5 million to fight Tyson. I went down to Fort Lauderdale, spent about 3 days with Don King and his attorneys, my attorneys, my trainer, you know, and we worked out a $38.5 million deal. I was going to fight Stormy Weathers, which is where all this happened in Vegas.
Right.
Another journeyman, and then fighting Tyson right out of the joint. You know, when he fought Peter McNeely, that was supposed to be me.
Oh.
And I would have kicked his ass.
Oh, I didn't know that. So Peter McNeely took your spot?
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. hey.
Yeah, I mean, imagine how I felt.
well, yeah, that's true. Hey, now, not to get to the point why you're on now, your boxing career ended in 96 because they said you tested positive for HIV. Tommy, now you could tell this story much better than I can, so I'm going to let you go, my friend.
Well, first of all, HIV is a myth. You know, no one can show anybody what it looks like, what the antibody looks like, and there is no test on the face of this planet that picks up HIV because you can't find something that doesn't exist, something that's not there. All these HIV tests, the Western blot, the PCR, the ELISA, you know, if you read the disclaimer, it clearly says that none of these tests have the ability, you know, to pick up an active or non-active virus. So they kicked me out of a sport that I helped make popular because I failed a test that doesn't even pick up HIV. I mean, this is the craziest thing that I've ever been exposed to.
Wow.
But no one, you know, for the longest time, nobody wanted to listen. You know, it's like they thought I was a crackpot, like I was crazy. But now people are starting to pay attention to what we're saying.
Right.
And a lot of the boxing fans out there are the ones that are going to make it happen. You know how, you know, they always get what they want. You know, and I have... without a doubt, I believe I'll be much better this time, smarter, and the division is wide open.
Oh,
I mean, everybody's scared that this Klitschko guy. I knock him out in 3 rounds. You know how you do it? You go out and fight him. You know, everybody wants to go out there and be all apprehensive and defensive and run from him. Well, he's going to find his range.
Right.
He's going to dissect you eventually. You take someone like Ross Purdy, Corey Sanders, you know, they went out and got in his ass and knocked him out.
Yep.
I mean, you know, this guy is not invincible. And I think, you know, his style is made for me.
That's, you know what, I've on this show, I said many times that someone's going to have to get in his chest and they're going to have to take a chance, but... you know, he's there to be hit. He's not a great defensive fighter by any means.
You're exactly right. And all those people from other countries are, they're all straight up, dude.
Yep.
You know, they don't bend. They don't. And all you gotta do is get in there. And here's another thing. You know, heavyweights, none of them go to the body.
Oh,
it's hard to do. It's hard to go to the body effectively when your legs are straight. You got to get down and dig. And that's something else I believe will be very effective against Klitschko.
Yeah, you gotta be able to move your head, go side to side, get in his chest, and go to the body. Tommy, you sound like you've got the game plan. Like you've been listening to my show.
You gotta be able to explode in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because once you get inside those big guys, they don't know what to do except hang on you and try to tie you up. You know, all that BS, but. And they're pretty effective doing that when these heavyweights are throwing 2, maybe 3 punches. But if you're throwing 5, 6, and 7, you know, there's no way they can handle it.
Man, that's amazing.
I mean, Vladimir is who I'm talking about.
Right, yeah.
Now, Vitaly, I'd probably stay away from him. You know, I think he's a much better fighter, but he's very unorthodox.
Yep.
And awkward. And, not that he can't be beat as well, but, you know, the big money's with Vladimir.
Yep, well, he's got the belts, you know.
Hey,
Tommy, to get back to HIV virus, Gallo, Popovich, Fossey, I mean, none of them can provide an answer to what you are asking them. To prove that it's HIV?
I've been trying to contact him for 246 days. And all I want is for him to show me, what it looks like.
Yeah.
And they just keep bumping me off and, you know, no response whatsoever. So that tells me something's going on. It doesn't even respond anymore.
Wow. Hey, Tommy, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a government conspiracy to make money.
Exactly what it is.
And then because I think we have a cure for cancer, but there's no money in a cure.
I'll tell you, you're exactly right. You know, the government will not release a disease, into society until they've already got the cure for it. That's how it works. Cancer, they could have cured that 30 years ago.
I agree. I still think we're sitting on the cure, and there's no money to be made in a cure, so they're going to, you get all these, you got to go through the chemo and the radiation, and you know what?
Yeah. My money and treatment.
Exactly. My mother's had to go through it. Brian did. Did you have to go through cancer at all, or your family?
Oh, my father passed away from it.
Your father passed away of cancer. I mean, there's no money in it, Tommy. And I don't think we'll ever see a cure until there's money in the cure.
Yeah, I believe you're right. You know, it's everything is about control.
Yeah, I agree.
They want to control everybody and everything.
So I want people to be very clear that are listening. You do not have HIV because it does not exist. Is that correct, Tommy?
That is 100% correct.
They created
this all through propaganda to the media. No one's ever seen an HIV or an antibody.
Hmm.
I mean, they do have. If you get on the internet, you can find like 2 or 3 pictures of a computer generated. But it's got all these pretty colors and this and that. You know, I mean, it looks like something from another planet.
Man. Oh, man, Tommy. Hey, listen, I was telling my partner Brian here, if Tommy Morrison proves this to be right, and this comes out, Tommy Morrison deserves a you know, the Nobel Peace Prize and whatever other award. And you know what? And I know an award isn't what you're looking for, because I can't imagine how much money this has cost you, Tommy. I just can't.
Well, it's cost me $38.5 million for sure.
Oh man.
And the ability to make a money.
Right.
And interest on that money for the last, 15, 16 years. So, when you try to put a price tag on that, you're talking $200 million.
Damn it, Tommy, man. It's stupid all government.
For nothing. All for failing a test that doesn't even have the ability to pick up HIV or any infection, for that matter. But HIV doesn't exist. I mean, it never has. They did it all through the media. People are they're hypnotized by the TV. If they're reading the paper or seeing it on TV, then my God, it's true.
Man, damn. You know
they manipulate society through those two vehicles.
Man, Tommy, so are you convinced that boxing is going to allow you to come back?
Well, I mean, they're going to have to if we keep plugging away.
Okay.
Once we need to get in front of the right people.
Right.
I need to find the right attorney, and then we go gunslinging. Go to Vegas, sit down with Keith Kaiser. And this great Serb guy present our information in front of the commission and put the ball in their court. You would think that even though we've already pointed out that in the disclaimer that it doesn't pick up HIV at all.
Right.
You'd think they'd want to change the rules. But they can't do that because there's no test on the face of this planet that picks up HIV. Why? Because it doesn't exist.
The more you say it, the more I'm over here shaking my head. I can't believe it. And you know what, Tommy? You're right. I have been a victim of the media this whole time. I've believed, what I've been told with the HIV virus and AIDS. Because I don't know any better. Now there's somebody like yourself out there saying, you know what? This damn thing is a myth. It doesn't exist. And I'm over here shaking my head in disbelief, Tommy.
You know what? I was saying all this about 16 years ago. People thought I was off my damn rocker. Thought I was crazy.
Right.
Now, all these years later, everything that I said and everything that I preached, everything that I talked about is went right on the money.
Man.
Now people are starting to listen to it, particularly the boxing fans. They're the ones that are going to make this happen. And I need to, find a powerhouse lawyer that would be willing to, take my case on a contingency basis.
Right.
Because I'm, shit, I don't have any money.
Right. Yeah, man, I hear what you're saying.
But it's all right there to be taken. And, I believe that, I really don't believe that it would be that big of a long, drawn-out thing. Maybe a couple of years. Could be a little longer than that, but it doesn't matter. It's going to make the sport right. It's going to right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still young enough to get the job done.
Hey, Tommy, how old a man are you?
I'm 42.
42. So now to come back in the heavyweight division at 42, because I've seen Evander Holyfield do it, George Foreman do it. You still think you could get in the ring and get the job done?
Absolutely.
Man, I'd love to hear that. I love to hear that. That is awesome. Hey, I've got one rule change in boxing that I'd like to run by you and see what you think. It seems like a lot of times there's a bad decisions by the judges after the boxing match. What I would like to do is have the boxing judges have to declare who won round by round. So everybody knows if, Tommy, let's just say it's a 12-round fight and you've lost the first seven rounds, now you know you have to basically knock this guy out if you want to win, or knock him down, or... I think it should be open.
I think that is a fantastic idea, because there's too much BS going on.
Yes,
and that would be that way. Everybody would know round by round, and except the fighter, of course.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly.
I think that's a great idea. Now, my next question is, how the hell do you go about getting that implemented?
Right, and that's the thing, because Tommy, I have seen so many boxing. I am a huge boxing fan, and I have seen so many travesties, or at least in my opinion, where decisions have gone the wrong way, and you're like, "Well, what the hell is the judges watching?"
It's like, what do they got, glass eyes?
You know what I'm saying, Tommy?
It's crazy.
But if these guys had to declare round by round by round, who they felt won that round, then that would change the perception, one, of boxing, of being a fixed sport.
Well, I believe it would sort of keep the judges honest. Yep. Also,
I agree, man. Hey, Tommy, do you have a website or anybody you want people to go to?
Yes, I do. Hang on just a second. Website is TommyTheDukeMorrison.com.
TommyTheDukeMorrison.com. Hey, you know what's funny, Tommy, is when every time I mentioned to somebody you were coming on the show today, everybody got a bright smile on their face, and they said, "Tommy Gunn."
Tommy Gunn. I get that a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, how often do you get called Tommy Gunn, man?
Well, I can't go anywhere. If I go to a mall or someone recognizes me, one of the things that gets spit out at me everywhere I go is somebody will holler, "I didn't hear no bell,"
"I didn't hear no bell." Yeah, you're not tired of hearing that, huh?
Yeah. But hey, that just means they appreciated my role and what I've had the opportunity to do. Yeah, I loved it.
Absolutely. You knocked him down. Why don't you try knocking me down now, Tommy?
There you go. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hey, Tommy, can I get you to say one thing before we let you go?
Sure.
Just introduce yourself and then say you're inside the squared circle with Frankie and Brian.
With Frankie.
And Brian.
Frankie and Brian. You got it.
All right, we're live.
All right, all my fans out there, this is Tommy the Duke Morrison, and you're in the square circle with Frankie and Brian.
Tommy, it's been a pleasure, my friend. Hopefully we can get you on much sooner rather than later, man.
I would love to be on your show again, man.
Dude, if
you give a good interview, and I got a lot more to say.
Yeah, man, and if you're, I don't know how often you come through Chicago, Tommy, but if you ever want to come in studio, you got the red carpet.
All right, brother.
All right, everybody, Tommy the Duke Morrison here on Inside the Squared Circle. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about that. I think he's very interesting points about the HIV virus. So stay tuned, Jack Legs. Don't move.
Hi, I'm...